This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, everyone. I want to say thank you to the band. Thank you to the volunteers. So many on holiday, but so many are not. And it's just such a privilege to just be here, to be in the house of the Lord, to be with you, to be with one another. The title of my message this morning is, He Calls Us Friends. I just want to show you a picture of my family. Thank you, George, for that introduction. That's my beautiful family. That's my fruit. That's my wealth. And whenever I look at that photo, I'm just overcome with emotion because I never had this before. And I'm not trying to tell you that, you know, I have this amazing life. What I want to tell you is what the Lord has built and what He builds in all our lives. And it's not just that photo of my family, it's also you. We are family of one another. That's what Jesus came. He came to set the captives free, but also to put them in a family. You know, and so as I share with you this morning what I believe God's got on His heart for you, I pray that we will open our hearts. Because God wants to speak to us, that we will open our eyes, because we can so easily sit here and miss it. We can so easily get familiar with the things of church. We come in, we sing, and we do things that we miss this. We miss what God wants to do. We miss when God is speaking to us. But my prayer and the prayer of our intercession team this morning is that you will miss nothing. So He says, I'm an elder in the church. God's raised me up to serve. And it's quite an interesting journey that I'm on with the Lord. Because when we know things, this church is an amazing church. We teach people. We send people on missions. We back people because we want to really be practical about the word. We pray for the sick. God opens their eyes, the eyes of the blind. God raises the dead. God does amazing things. But as we go, it's so easy for us to fall prey to thinking that because we know something, we are something. But I want to pray this morning again and make it just a statement that we don't know as we should know. If we don't know Jesus, we know nothing. And if we have not love, we have nothing. So this morning as I share scriptures with you, remember that. So before I share, I just want you to turn to one another and just answer that question. Why is Easter special? Just 1 or 2 minutes. Why is Easter special? What does it mean to you? What feelings and emotions comes to mind? To share with your neighbor. As I was preparing, I was thinking, Easter is such an enormous topic. We can talk about it. I think they'll never stop writing books about it. And we can all look at Easter and find something that just we want to high five. There's something about Easter that makes us fall on our knees. There's something about Easter that just arrests us. There's something about Easter that makes us realize, wow. So for me, Easter is about the greatest. And this is obviously just some of the things that came to mind. It's about the greatest injustice. The greatest sacrifice, the greatest debt, the greatest rescue mission, the greatest exchange, and it's about the greatest treasure. So Easter is really a big deal. And it's part of the greatest love story that has ever been told and will ever be told. And it's everything to make the makings of a great movie. We've got a great betrayal. You've got a band of brothers, unlikely, brought together. There's this teacher. There's the Messiah, the Savior, who walks with them, teaches them, and gets betrayed by one of them. But the best thing about this is not a movie. This is the truth. This is the reality that we live in. So I could go on and on, but let's look at some scriptures I felt God wanted us to focus on. John 3:16, a familiar scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. This is how God loves. He loves and He gives. I think of the greatest treasure is Jesus, that God would give us Jesus. The greatest exchange is our sinfulness, our rebellion, And he gives us sonship. The greatest debt. Sin that we can't undo. We can't stop what is going on in the world. We can't stop what Adam did. But Jesus did. Jesus can. And again, so often we got the wrong understanding of God. As I'm a father now, and the more I walk with the Lord, the more I'm just blown away by His love. When God wants to deal with me, He shows me His goodness. When God wants to deal with me, He brings me to a place where I repent. And then I can see Him for who He is. The world wants to paint our Father as an angry God. As a God who places unusually hard demands on us. A killjoy. He's not that. He's the Father of lights and He loves us. He loves us. He loves us, and He doesn't just love us with a love like Cardi's and those cards, you know, many, many words. He loves us enough to take our place. He knows we can't pay the debt. He knows we can't find our way back to Him. And what does He do? In the Garden of Eden, He makes a promise, and He says, I will fix it. He's a promise keeper. In John 1, John the Baptist is doing his ministry. His ministry is obviously so successful. And he says, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I pray that God would open our eyes and our hearts and we may hear that the Spirit of God Himself may anoint us to see this, because this is big stuff. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so sin is this big thing. But sin has been dealt with. And so if you're living in the shadow of sin, I want to just tell you it's been dealt with. Stop fighting it in your own. Stop running from your past and run to Jesus. In Romans 5, it says, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person. One would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now it seems like, you know, my message is all about sin, and it must be about sin, because sin is what separates us from God. But my message isn't only about sin, because that's the cool thing about us who have been bought, who have been redeemed. Death has no sting over us. It has no hold over us. It is amazing to go to funerals where people knew the Lord, because you sit there and there's this bittersweet moment. You're sad because you're not going to see the person, but you also, there's this joy that you can't explain, that somebody who doesn't have the Lord cannot understand. They cannot fathom why you would be joyful, yet sorrowful. But that's the amazing thing about the Lord. As I walk with the Lord, there's these contradictions. There's these things where the Lord says, if you want to live, die. If you want to get, give. It's amazing. And He keeps doing it. He keeps doing it in my life. And I know in your life too. And I pray that today the Lord will remind you of that. If you've grown tired, you've grown weary, and church has just become another thing, and church is just a thing, as people, and you don't see Jesus. You don't see His invisible attributes. John 15 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. The cross, Easter, is the ultimate demonstration of God's holiness and His love. And again, the cross is this cruel instrument, and yet for us it's love. For us it's peace. For Jesus it was not peace. He experienced something that He's never experienced before, separation from the Father because of the things we did. And I was thinking about the greatest injustice. Just imagine, I mean, for you, even we understand this, a righteous man goes to jail for something he didn't do. We know that is wrong. But a righteous God, the Creator, He takes our place. He becomes sin for us. I was thinking about that again. He becomes sin, something that is so foreign to our God. He's holy, and He becomes sin so that we can become holy, so we can become the righteous of the Lord. We can exchange our filthy rags for his righteousness, for his robes of righteousness. It is just mind-boggling, and I'm sure that the powers of darkness, they scratch their heads themselves. It's like they can't understand it. That God would love us this much that he would send his son to die for us. And not just to die for us and save us from our sin and then leave us there, okay, now you're righteous. No, he brings us into the relationship that he has with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity. God invites us into this relationship. A while back we did a series on Ephesians and us in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And again, you can so easily miss it. We are now in Jesus. We are in Christ. So when God looks at us, he doesn't look at us from our past or our degrees or this or that. He looks at the Son and he thinks, I am well pleased. And what does God say about the Son? He's my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. So perhaps you've never heard this, perhaps you don't believe it, but the Lord says, you are his beloved, and that you are in Christ. And he bestows upon you the love that he has for the Son. So if you are tired and weary, look to the cross. If you want to know what God thinks about sin and rebellion, look to the cross. If you want to know what God thinks about when we sing Jesus loves me, look to the cross. That's why Easter is a big deal. And that's why we, who are his children, must in a sense fight for that truth. Don't let the world cheapen it. I was sharing with Pastor C.S. now, the world is so busy. We are so busy. And I don't know, I'm pretty sure if I were to do a quick vote or hand up, we would all say we're busy. The cares of this life, raising children, work, this, that. It's so busy. And those things can so easily steal our joy. They can so easily become bigger than the treasure of Christ. They can so easily make the words of God dull and like, I'm going through stuff, And so this morning, I declare of us all, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. May he captivate us. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. What an outrageous thing if it wasn't true. Just think about it. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the creator of everything, calls us his friends. No longer do I call you servants. Those are bond servants. For the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. I was thinking about this a while back. I was reading the account of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And I was wondering, what would it be like if Jesus were to come to my home and just be there? He'd be my friend. And I thought about it for a moment, and I didn't know what I'd do. Just imagine Jesus rocks up. He knows everything. He can do everything. He needs nothing. And he's sitting on your couch, and he asks you to make him a cup of tea or coffee or whatever. What would you talk about? And for me, it highlighted something in my heart. You know, I can get so busy with doctrine and what God has done and where I'm going and what I must still do that I forget Jesus just wants to sit with us. So that this thing is not about sin and about conquering the devil. It's about abiding in him. It's about becoming friends of Jesus and experiencing that friendship. And when Lazarus dies, Martha and Mary send the word to Jesus. Now many of us have friends at the, at the council, or friends at Vodacom, or friends somewhere that you'd phone to get something done. You get certain people who've got many friends. But I think about Jesus as being that friend. One day my wife had a vision about my daughter. She was going to be sick, and God gave her this vision, and she prayed it. And she was praying it, and I listened to afterwards because she was telling me about the vision, and it blew me away. And she said, in the vision, our daughter's sick, something has happened to her, and she's running, and she's running. And she's just trying to run. She's got my daughter's body in her arms, and she's running. And she's trying to find Jesus. And she knows as she's running, all she must do is find Jesus. Then everything will be okay. And as she goes through this vision, she finds Jesus. And she gives Jesus my daughter. And she knows just by that, everything is going to be okay. Now that's a vision that God gave my wife. But Easter is a vision, or not even a vision, is a declaration for all of us. And again, my prayer this morning is that we so easily run past that. It's like we want something else. And God is just, bring them to Jesus. You've got problems in your marriage. Take it to Jesus. You've got desires. You've got a mountain. You've got an army that encamps against you. Your business is going down. Take it to Jesus. He's called you friend. And I myself fall short. I like to try things, and then eventually when I admit defeat, then I go to Jesus. And then I just know God is like, why? Why am I the last person you come to? Why is the Holy Spirit in my life? And I don't know what is in your life. Why is he the last person I go to when I need help? It says, if I first go to him and I can come to him and say, Lord, I have done everything I could. Now will you help me? That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of works. We can come to him boldly because of Jesus, because of his blood that was shed for us. We can come to him boldly because of the cross. We can come to him without qualification. We can come to him even when we've sinned. We can run back to him. It says, for all that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Imagine you're on a team. You're going to play rugby, but you've got no rugby skills. And they pick you. And you're like, I don't even think you'll probably think if you're a rugby fan, that's it. You're going to play for the Boca. Now, Jesus always picks us. He picks us. He picks us and he sends us all over the world to take his gospel, the only gospel the only means of peace, the only means of salvation. He picks you and me, and he sends us, he equips us, he gives us his Holy Spirit, and he tells us, I'm with you. Let's go. Let's go. And I think why I'm sharing this is because we can so easily focus only on ourselves and our shortcomings and forget what Jesus says about us. He's with us. We are his friends. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So now with all of that, this is a question, Psalm 116, I want you to, in your heart, answer. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? 12. The psalmist replies, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. What will you render to the Lord for all his benefits? 1 Peter 2, 9-10. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I'm going to read it again. You and I are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. All over the world, we gather in his name. A people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What would those excellencies be? You know what's in your life. You know the circles you're in. How does one proclaim his excellencies? Every day, God gives us opportunities. I work in a mall, and God does this thing with me where he'll tell me to tell people that he loves them. And then I'm like, Lord, it is so cliche. Like, okay, I'm going to tell them you love them. And it always blows me away, people's response. Because I lose sight of a few things. God knows where people are. He knows what they need. He made them. He knows their need. One day I was going into the parking lot and this massive bodybuilder is getting into this little bucky. And as I'm walking and I hear, tell him I love him. I'm like, no ways, Lord. And I'll be honest with you. I don't know if you often have this. Maybe you don't. But I'm like, no ways, Lord. That's not going to work. And as I'm walking and as I get to the side and I turn and I knock. I say, can you roll down the window? And he says, look, I introduce myself and I say, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. And the kicker, he searches my eyes and then he pauses as if he swallows whatever he was going to say. And he says, just wait, and he gets out of the car. And this massive bodybuilder gives me this hug and says, thank you very much. Now, I could have missed that opportunity. Another time I was telling a lady behind the counter, I tell her, you know, Jesus loves you. And she goes, yes, yes, he loves me and he paid for my sins. And I say, yeah, but do you know that he also invites you into that relationship with the Father? And that stunned her. And you could see because she didn't have something to come back with it. But that's what this is about. God invites us into his family. He desires to have relationship with us. And it can be daunting. When Jesus is sitting on your couch, figuratively speaking, and you know the things that are in the closet. God knows the things that are in the closet. He knows about our pride. He knows about our anger. He knows about our selfish ambitions. But he still says, I'm going to sit here with you. And he doesn't sit in our lives to expose us, but he just so wants us to tell him, Lord, there's things in my life that you paid for, that belongs to you, that I must give to you. You've got to give Jesus the sin. You've got to give him those things that are distracting you from him. So again, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Then Psalm 34. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. What a scripture. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And so the practical of part of this is, how do you do this day to day? The Lord will show you. The Lord wants to show you. And so if you feel like this is too much for you, Matthew 11, again, the words of Jesus will comfort you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Lowly. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.